The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Kind of wondering what I wanted to take your general temperature this morning of the Southern Oregon community, okay? And this has to do with how you think we're dealing with crime and or punishment. And I bring this up after the shooting that allegedly William Carl Frombach Jr., that 45-year-old who is in Jackson County Jail right now, no bail, by the way, he's accused of shooting 42-year-old Devery Allen Bynum, a 42-year-old, and then shooting Elizabeth Hadley, poor Elizabeth Hadley, 22-year-old girl, graduate of Crater, on her way to work, wrong place, wrong time. And are we decaying, or are we just... are these just kind of one-off kind of things in your view? Are you seeing an overall, in your opinion, a corrosion of what is going on of general public safety? And by the way, this is not a criticism of police or sheriffs. It's just not. Because I want to be fair when I talk about such matters here, that police and sheriffs are really there to keep order with a relatively orderly, peaceful, and law-abiding people. They're really not, they don't have enough of them. We don't have enough of them to really have the jack-booted thuggery in which we're going to keep a really hard thumb on people. All right? This can. Yeah, I know. You sit around and you grouse about getting popped for the speeding camera, by the speeding camera, by the cop, or whatever it is. Or, yeah, I mouthed off at the cop and got in trouble and yada, yada, yada. But overall, I guess my question, I guess when I'm trying to phrase this question as I'm looking at this story about the shooting of Elizabeth Hadley and Devery Bynum. Devery Bynum's, dead, of course. He's dead. We have people mourning here. And this guy, William Carl Frombach Jr., accused of this. Now, like I said, there's been no crime, but he's been in a lot of trouble, a lot. Over the years, a lot of trouble, a lot of Deweys, a lot of various other things. I don't have the full criminal history of this individual at this point. My comment is about our people. Are we the people just in general getting a little more violent? On the extremes, it starts showing up a little bit more, this kind of thing. Because normally we think of Southern Oregon as being a relatively law-abiding. In fact, I can remember the days even back in the early 2000s when we first started KMED as talk radio, that we were doing morning news. And morning news, just nothing but local morning news for 3 hours from 6 to 9, was a bit of a challenge. Because not that much goes on around here for the most part, right? That's the beauty of Southern Oregon. And that's why we went to talk, so we can talk about news and other things there, too. And I ended up planting the flag, and I've been doing this for, 23, going to be 24 years, next year. And that's what I've always liked about Southern Oregon. And so when I see something like this, one guy gets shot, and then, shot in the head of the 22-year-old ICU. This strikes me as the stuff we would read about in Portland. Yeah, that's the kind of stuff. Oh, yeah, Eugene. Yeah, I could see them doing something like that. Is there more of that happening here? What's your overall temperature? I'm just asking for your temperature, on it this morning, because this one just, I'm shaking my head. And, of course, being a gun-carrying guy, a carrier, concealed carrier, there's always that part of thinking, gosh, what would I have done? If some dirtbag comes up and tries to carjack me, what would I have done? It probably happened so quickly, poor Elizabeth didn't even know, what had happened. And then just starts, and she did the right thing, in my opinion. The first instinct is right. Stomp on the gas and try to get away. But are we seeing an additional corrosion of the human stock here in Southern Oregon overall? Because most of the crime is committed by a handful of people, really. When you talk to the police officers, most people, most of us out there, pretty law-abiding folks. But on the edges, it feels like there's getting to be more activity. I'm just talking about a feeling. You can tell me your feelings and thoughts on that, too. 770-5633. I'll toss that out there, too. All right, let me go to the phones here, because I always love kind of kicking it around with you. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Good morning, Bill. Michael Shaw here. How are you today?
I'm fine, Michael. What's going on in your world, huh?
Well, I'll make a quick comment about what you were just discussing, but then I've got one other thing for you. So I think that the overall generational breakdown in two-parent families, family structure, teaching of morals and proper upbringing with punishments for actions when children are being raised has led to increased crime, because a lot of the younger generations weren't taught real consequences for their actions.
I think what also didn't help was that you had a whole bunch of generations that, or a couple of generations at least, that were taught how special they were, when in reality, none of us are all that special. You know what I'm getting at? Well, that sort of thing.
Yeah, very true. Very true. Can agree with that. I mean, when you and I were raised, it was like, no, you're not special. Go out there and shovel the snow, damn it.
Yeah, you know, so. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So the real reason I was calling in is that everybody's talking about these actors and actresses and big names threatening to leave the country and doing all this. So whether they leave or not, who cares?
Well, maybe we could do a GoFundMe if they're just a little short on cash. I'd help. I think it would actually improve the human stock. It'd be good. Good.
Right. Mm-hmm. But here's the point. There's not a single one of them that said, I'm leaving the country and I'm going to renounce my citizenship. So they're going to leave the country. They're going to leave the country and spend 6 months in Australia or the UK or wherever. And then they're going to come back and they're going to spend 6 months here to maintain their citizenship.
Is that how long you have to stay here? Or you have to be more than half the year to be here?
Yeah, I think it's different for some countries. But I know I've had mailbox holders who had homes like in Italy and Scotland, and they would spend six. And I think it is a citizenship requirement or something along that line.
Now, I like that. So if you're going to be, if you are very serious, Cher and all the other people, renounce your Hollywood contracts, okay? Divest yourself, sell all your property, and then renounce your citizenship. If you're that serious, do it.
Right.
Really do it,
but
right?
There's not one of them that ever said that at all.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Appreciate the call. Thanks for that, Michael. 770-5633. Just kind of noodle around, open phone time here on Wheels Up Wednesday. Good morning. Hi, who's this? Hello?
Who, me?
Yes, it's you. Good morning.
Oh, hey, Bill. It's David.
Hey, David. Welcome.
Hey, I think, you know, I could make it a lot deeper conversation, but I'm fairly sure that nationwide crime rates have been going down for decades. You know, I think that as we age, I know for myself at least, you know, it's easy to get to a place of like, oh, wow, how are we still doing this? How are these things still occurring? So it seems like it's perpetuating and it's, you know, getting bigger and bigger as a problem, but I don't know that it is. I think that young people commit crimes. I think that's in every culture going back thousands of years. I think that
you're right. Crime is usually a young person's gig. Yeah. In this particular case, the latest suspect though is not a young person. It is mid-40s, and maybe that's a little bit of a outlier. But still, it just. I mean, this just strikes me of kind of a big city crime type thing that I'm not really used to seeing as much of here. Or maybe I'm just, you know, immune to it somewhat. I don't know. What are you thinking? Go ahead.
It's a news story. It's like a war overseas. I mean, it's what the news is all the ugly things. I mean, of course, it's horrific, you know, it's horrific, but I mean, as far as news, and you have the echo chamber of the internet that really makes people have a sense of spinning out of control or trends going ways they aren't because the internet amplifies. I mean, there's a whole other level, you know, we could go on about drugs and then the trauma that's created in that person's life and he shoots an innocent girl and that creates.
Yeah, well, I'll be curious to hear the whole story about that because the individual involved who's accused. Lots of Deweys. So we may be looking at a psychotic substance abuser for all we know. We don't know that yet. We don't know that. But it does make one wonder. Okay?
But drugs and alcohol keep people in a youthful mentality in a negative way, you know. And so when you say young people commit crimes, well, someone who's been using drugs for 20 years is still a 13-year-old in their head.
All right. Hey, it's a good point. David, thanks for making it. 770-5633. Talking about the latest just tragic shooting in Central Point. And other ones, too. And it just this one just struck me emotionally. And I'll admit that it's an emotional emotional wound here. But what are your thoughts? Hi, good morning, caller. Who's this?
Hey, Bill, is that me?
Yeah, it's you. Hello. Welcome back, Matt.
Yeah, hey. So, actually, I didn't want to be on that topic. I wanted to hitch up on the cabinet thing. And then I have an idea for deportation steps that could be taken.
Okay.
I'm Pete Hegseth. I really wasn't sure because I didn't know his background, and then I started doing some research last night. I think he's a good outside pick. I think he's a good outside pick based upon my research, which I won't go into because we wouldn't have time here. But
yeah, but still, yeah, overall, I mean, I knew enough about his background to say that he's a knowledgeable, educated guy. Of course, the people who are criticizing him are saying, well, you know, he's not experienced within the Pentagon. I don't know. Maybe you need an outside set of eyes on that. I don't know. Yeah, maybe that is exactly what could be useful in something like this. And I'm just going to give him the benefit of the doubt right now.
Well, here's what I'm guessing. They're going to surround him with people who are sort of boots on the ground currently.
Yeah.
And he'll have an opportunity. So you just need someone smart to go in who knows military like he does. I mean, the guy's a decorated Army soldier. He's been, you know, so he's got the background.
Yeah, go ahead. Back off your phone again, Matt.
Okay.
I'm just trying to keep your distortion down. I want people to hear your thoughtfulness, okay? Go ahead.
All right. I appreciate it. So, Christy Noem, when I first heard that name, I was flipping out. I'm like, what? This to me, this is one of the most important cabinet positions available.
Yeah, Department of Homeland Security, and I think she's also in charge of the Secret Service, right?
Yes, FEMA, TSA. So anyway, so after I thought about it for about a half hour, then it hit me. They're going to split up that department. Department of Homeland Security is not going to manage everything it's managing. I think she's going to end up managing a small portion of that. And when it gets split up, they're going to have somebody else. You're going to see someone. Now, this is not Conspiracy Theory Thursday, but I think this is what's going to happen. They're going to have somebody managing TSA. They'll have somebody managing the border. They'll have somebody managing FEMA. And they're going to end Secret Service. They're going to split that up because it's too much for one person to manage. And it's too easy for one person to manipulate too many things by being in charge of all of it.
It's an interesting take, though, that you think they're going to split that up. That's a pick that I can't say I was real happy with, you know, overall, probably for the same reason. My issue is not that I don't think that she's a smart person. And what my concern about it, though, is how... And I know President Trump has been a roving dog too. Okay, I get it. There's just I have a real problem with elevating people who were conducting people betraying their marital partners, male and female. I'm talking to Corey Lewandowski and Christy Noem, just not even trying to hide it, just going out there and acting like they were a couple of Hollywood starlets and, oh, we're just getting divorced and okay, we're moving on now. And then banging each other like cheap gongs in the public sphere. It just kind of left a bad taste in my mouth, you know, for this, for elevating these kind of people, because I think you know what their character is all about. And why would you put them involved in these kind of organizations? I feel the same way if Corey Lewandowski was given the post, okay?
Yeah, I feel like she is not fit. I mean, look, you could also, besides what you brought up, you can also bring up the fact that when she was pressured on the men playing in women's sports in the NCAA, she caved.
She caved, yeah. She caved. She caved in order to get the games coming to the state, and that was bad.
She's a facade of a strong woman, so I think it's a terrible pick, but I reached out to this friend of mine, and I said, so what do you think of my idea that they chop this up into like six different pieces, and she gets one of them? And he said, yes. He's worked on presidential elections. He's been around a long time. It's what he does for a living. He said, she'll end up managing TSA, and that's about it.
Okay, well, maybe that's it, and just rewarding some loyalty. That could be what's ultimately going on. You could be right about that. You know what I would have thought of if I was looking for a strong woman? I'm thinking about the lieutenant governor of Virginia. Remember her?
There you go. Oh, my gosh. Yes, absolutely. Yes, I've heard her speak several times. She's got a military background. I think she would be fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me throw something out on the end. So here's what I think on the border stuff. We want, rather than having to deport everybody manually, what I would do is I would do as many things as you can to make people self-deport. I would be strong enforcement on E-Verify. I would cut off any federal funds to any state or any locale that was using that money to go direct. That includes the FEMA money. They wouldn't get a dime out of the federal government, so they wouldn't be able to sustain themselves. And finally, I would go after the NGOs as conspirators and as aiding and abetting illegal immigration.
So you'd be taking on like the Lutheran NGOs and such that have been all doing a lot of this stuff. Okay, what do you think about this one? What do you think about doing this one? Putting in statute that putting it in statute. Right, in statute, not in not an executive order, that no more federal aid, no more tax money spent to educate illegal alien children. I'm sorry, it's a huge burden here in the state of Oregon.
It sounds heartless. It does. All this does. But you know what? There are a lot of people who have been waiting in line for a long time who have spent a lot of money
who don't get here.
I agree with you. I think that's a great idea. You just have to make it incredibly uncomfortable so that when they hear all this coming at them, because I'm telling you, you go after these NGOs for conspiracy and aiding and abetting, violation of federal law, you watch how fast their doors shut.
Good point there. Thanks for the call, Matt. 770-563-3. I'll go to line 4. Hi, good morning, line 4. Who's this?
Good morning. It's, Garth Harrington. How are you?
I'm doing well, Garth. What's on your mind?
I have a one-word answer for the marked change in violence in Southern Oregon, and for that matter, in the United States.
Okay. What's that?
And that is drugs.
Okay. Continuation of the drugs. Chances are we'll find this out about this particular suspect, too.
Well, let's put it this way. Drugs remove the filters from human behavior. The urge takes over everything. And they will do, as been proved time and time and time again, they will do anything to get drugs. And usually these shootings, in a large part in Southern Oregon, these are drug transportation related. They're stopping people and bingo, here you go. Here's a mm-hmm. trunk load.
Yep.
And, when Rose and I don't mean to just say, people calling on the radio. When we were on the radio and your competitors and eventually your support, Rosemary said something to Ray Shipley when he was a guest. And she said, I think we've got a problem. I'm seeing more and more of these signs, these spray paintings, these defacing of buildings. And
yeah, the gang tagging. Yeah, you do see a lot more of that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and she said, he says, no. And this is when Ray Shipley was top cop. He said, oh, no, these are just wannabes. Well, along about 7 or 8 years after that, and the volume of stuff was picking up and violence was accelerating, she said, thanks, Chief. They were just wannabes. Now they're no longer wannabes. They are there.
They graduated, right?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
You got to read the tea leaves and say, this could be a clue.
Hmm. And something else about that, speaking of that, the drug addiction, which is still, I think, a super big problem around here, Garth, is, have you noticed how the city has been talking about, we've really taken down the illegal camping, and this is a huge percentage of reduction in illegal camping, and I don't know, just my observations on the streets of Southern Oregon, maybe they aren't camping, but the zombie walk is still big. Here in Southern Oregon, have you noticed that on the sidewalks in the neighborhoods? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you can't go a city block downtown without seeing some horribly self-crucified person.
Yeah.
Who's just addicted. It's just a mini version of San Francisco, which is one of the saddest things
Exactly. The problem is not the illegal camping. That's one of the symptoms, I think, of what was going on.
Exactly.
Yeah. Getting rid of the illegal camping. Okay, so you're off the Greenway. Maybe they won't burn down the Greenway, as often. And that's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. But it's like it almost feels as if the zombie walkers have been dispersed a little bit or redistributed to all over the city to a certain extent. I don't know. I could be wrong about that.
I can tell you this. I can tell you this. That population is not going down. It is going up.
Yeah. Point well taken. Garth, great hearing from you. Say hi to Rose, too. Great love there. Let me go to line one, and then we'll wrap on the segment here. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Bill.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Todd.
Hi, Todd.
Your last caller was spot on. It all comes back to drugs, whether it's Measure 110, but the infrastructure that feeds the drugs, all the gangs that are here. I remember it was last year, I think we had 3 shootings in 1 week. The one at Buffalo Wild Wings, there was the murder in South Medford, and there was a shooting off of Roberts. And that it all feeds into that. And, I mean, I'll tell you a really quick story. I was walking my dog up in the Jacksonville Cemetery. For those who haven't been up there on a nice day, it's beautiful views and serene. And I look at this one headstone, and it was a relatively new one, and it had all sorts of embossing on it. And I started to notice gang symbols in it. And I thought, what is going on here?
What?
You know, Jacksonville?
On the headstone, like built into the headstone, actually put into it?
Absolutely.
Oh, you know, my goodness.
When you see Raiders symbols and you see a guy in a hoodie, and it's like, wait a minute. So I took down the information. I did some research. The guy was killed in a drive-by shooting off of Columbus, and he identified as a Sereno gang member, and he was a 19-year-old coming out of his mommy's house, and some guys were laying in wait for him. And he had it when the police came there and found his dead body. He had a gun on him, too. He's only like 19 or 20. So all of this has to do with drugs and the funneling of drugs into this area. So we still have to get, I mean, Measure 110, that little bit that they modified 110 didn't do anything. I was driving past Hawthorne Park, you know, the children's area right across from Tinseltown, broad daylight, 50 feet from where the kids play. The guy's propped up against a tree and sticking a syringe into his arm.
Yeah.
Within 5 minutes, I'm going past St. Vincent de Paul's, a ring of people sitting on the sidewalk, 5 feet from the street. They're passing around syringes. I mean, they haven't fixed it yet. So until we get a handle on that and take away the money flow from gangs, it's not going to stop the violence that we have going on here.
It's a good point. I appreciate you making it. Thank you, Todd. Hi, KMED. Good morning. Who's this? Hello? Going once, going twice, gotta go. This is the Bill Myers Show.
BM Auto Works is Southern Oregon's trusted Volkswagen and Audi dealership alternative, pairing factory diagnostic equipment with 12 years of factory training.
State Senator Dennis Linthicum standing by. Dennis is going to get right with you because Carol Lynn has kind of a period, putting in an exclamation point on our talk about local crime here in just a moment. Carol Ann, you said you live out in the Applegate, and then you had your car stolen when it was in Sam's Valley, out in the middle of nowhere, right? And then the search was on via crime cams and various things, right? What was the story? How'd this end up going?
Well, yes, and it was my daughter put it on the Facebook Jackson County scanner, so a couple of people saw the car. The sheriffs went out and didn't find it. The second time it was called in, the woman took a picture of it. It was in the next-door neighbor's driveway, and they had taken a Sharpie and changed the 3 letters to 3 other letters. But my car has some real distinguishing features. It's got a big Siamese cat sticker on the back window. They hadn't changed anything else, so I called the police right away, and she had reported it also. And so they sent deputies out there, apparently, and the car wasn't there. The woman told my daughter over text that there were meth heads living next door where the car was seen. So I asked the sheriff, who had told me, well, we have cams all over town, because he gave me a picture of my car to send my daughter.
Exactly,
and he
exactly.
Said, anybody that goes under the cams gets their picture taken. Okay. So I said, well, will they see it then? And he said, no, in Prospect area, they don't hardly have any cams. And that's the area where all the meth heads take their stolen cars and do their business out there.
Oh.
So I thought that was crazy.
Yeah, it seems to me then if we want to attack a bit of that, a few more, well, maybe some private sector people should just start putting some cameras on the entrances and exit points at Prospect. You don't even need the government to do that. Maybe we get a few people to do that. What do you think?
Well, I think anything is more effective than what happened, which is nothing. And, you know, when you take a plate as it says F. Fred Mary George, FMG, and change it to PMO with probably a Sharpie and some whiteout, it can't look like a regular plate.
Yeah, agreed. Hey, thanks for sharing the story about that. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me that we're seeing the rise of that, shall we say, unauthorized chop shopping business out there in Prospect. Appreciate the call there. Good luck on getting your vehicle back. By the way, what kind of vehicle is it? What kind of car?
It's a white Santa Fe, Hyundai Santa Fe.
Yeah.
An older one.
Yeah. That's strange. It wouldn't seem to be valuable for parts. I don't know about that one. Maybe it's just used for deals or sleeping in or something, all right? Appreciate the call there. Thanks for that. 10 before 8, Senator Linthicum. We got the connection back there. Glad to have you here. How you doing?
Good morning, Bill. It's good to be back.
All right. Well, we got the Skype fixed there, and everything's all working into Klamath Falls. Hey, didn't work out the way you wanted to in that Secretary of State race. And a couple of questions I wanted to run by you this morning. Is there any possibility that any Republican can win a statewide race? And I can't even say it's about money at this point, because Will Lathrop raised a lot of money, had a lot of money on his AG race, and still wasn't even particularly close. How are you doing? What do you think?
Yeah, you raise an interesting point. All three of these statewide offices, the treasurer, Brian Boquist, Will Lathrop in the AG race, and myself in the state treasurer, were essentially all right at the, 54% to 46% were on the low end of that scale. And other than the treasurer's office that had a Pacific Green Party member that took, over 7% of the vote, all of it without that, third party candidate, we'd all be at the exact same numbers. And all these numbers come from Multnomah and Multnomah County and Washington County, Lane and Marion County. They're all playing by the same. If you look at the state maps, it's Oregon is a giant red state. And there are these islands of blue in the metro areas, which pulls the entire county into a blue color on the map. But it's incredibly isolated to precincts and zip codes within those specific counties. And it's a real problem. So I think the Trump administration should go about legislatively fixing this. The key, if there was a WorldNet Daily map that you may have seen that shows that VP Harris won the states that do not require an ID when registering to vote.
And this was, of course, something that you were concerned about. And one of the reasons you were running for Secretary of State is because of the loosey-goosiness of the Oregon vote by mail and motor voter way of working.
It's worse than loosey-goosey. It's been structured to allow the vote-by-mail artifice that we see. And so the NVRA, which is the Federal National Voter Registration Act, actually requires state election offices, i.e. Secretary of States across the U.S., to partner with federal agencies for, quote, creating opportunities for illegals to register to vote by not asking, pertinent questions with regard to proof of citizenship. And so I think the federal government could get rid of this giant, smudge on election integrity, and the entire nation would go red, because citizens, in fact, the NVRA says it's the right of citizens to vote, and it's a fundamental right of citizens to vote. And this is getting disenfranchised or violated every time, every 4 years we see it with aplomb. But we ought to put an end to this. And Trump could do it at the federal level. He's got all three. He's got both chambers, the Senate and the House. He's got the wit and the willpower. He ought to just go there.
I hope you're right about that. I really am. And that we could actually do something about the vote by mail system, because it is faith based here in the state of Oregon. And I know that our county clerks are all doing what they're told to do, et cetera, you know, agency of the state. I could go down all sorts of rabbit holes about this. But ultimately, the only thing that that qualifies you to vote here is essentially a pulse, and you check the box. You just check a box that says I'm a citizen. Well, you right. know, that's it. You know, you have to provide more documentation to take a new job. Dennis, you know,
right. I use this all the time. You have to provide documentation before you can buy a whipped cream charging canister of nitrous oxide. You know, we use that.
You really have to do that. You got to do that in this state. Really? I must have forgot about that law that went into effect.
You got to be 21 and you have to prove it at the cash register. Nitrous oxide, you know, little canisters for making whipped cream at home are behind lock and key.
Oh, God bless America. How did the Republic ever survive, Dennis?
Right. Yeah. Ugh. And this is actually an example of the subterfuge that comes from political activists in the local community. I was in the legislature when this passed. Kim Thatcher and I were in the Judiciary Committee. We both voted against this. The stories are tear-jerking stories about how kids have used this inappropriately and fried their brains and whatnot. But because they broke the law or broke common sense or broke, you know, fell into the trap of being held accountable to natural law and ruined their own lives, you and I are forbidden from making whipped cream at home without showing an ID.
Without showing government ID. Well, you see, this is what's happening is that the cult, you want to talk about the real party of the cult of safetyism, in which there is going to be some government apparatchik that will protect you from all harm, real or imagined. That is the modern Democratic Party. It just is. No doubt about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and it's really unfortunate that they've polished their language skills so keenly. They know how to appeal to the human heart, but unfortunately they violate reason and common sense every time they do that. And because they're violating common sense, it just doesn't work in the real world, because most people navigate through the world using common sense. If we didn't have common sense, we could never even start the toaster in the morning and make a muffin without electrocuting or
something. I imagine not. Dennis, what do you think is next for you now? Because at this point, are you going to become the chief of staff then for Diane Linthicum, your wife, who is going to be the incoming senator?
Yeah, I will. We haven't actually seen the finals coming out of the election office yet. So, you know, but nothing much is going to change. And we may pursue legal challenges to how things are being implemented, not to overturn the election and not because I'm an election denier, but because audits are good for the soul. Audits tell you what happened, how it happened, why it happened. And this is why, you know, people are continually under audit, whether it's an internal audit or an external audit. It makes very little difference. People come under the magnifying lens and all of a sudden straighten up, sit straight, tell straight answers, or lie their bloody heads off. But most of the time, you can tell the difference between the two.
All right. Let me ask you then about Dan Rayfield, who is coming in and is going to be the Secretary of State. Any evidence that he's actually going to do anything to tighten up the loosey-goosiness of Oregon government in general? What do you think?
Yeah. Rayfield will be Attorney General Lathrop.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He's in the Lathrop race, and then
no, I meant Tobias Reed. Tobias Reed. I misspoke.
Is the Secretary of State, and he'll just be a go along, get along player. He's not going to do anything. he believes in the state. He loves the power of the MDM, the misinformation, disinformation, and malinformation regimen that the Secretary of State's office has implemented. And that will be a formidable obstacle to us as we try and point out the truth. None of this is misinformation. None of this is disinformation. None of it's meant to cause harm.
It's just information. Just information. That's all.
Yeah.
It's speech. It's free speech is what it is. And free speech is good, bad, and indifferent. You know, that's just the way it is in a free people, if you're going to have a free people in Oregon.
Well, right. And this is important because one of the issues, they made an ad out of it, actually. The Reed camp made an ad out of it where he asked me at a debate if I would concede that Biden won the election in 2020. And you know, and it's like, well.
Oh, he had you there, right? He's got you now. Right.
Well, yeah. And so ever since then, all the headlines say Linthicum, an election denier, Linthicum, an election denier, Linthicum. And it's no, I'm not an election denier. He was certified as the victor, but that doesn't mean there wasn't hanky panky in the back room.
Well, it's astounding to see on average the Democratic candidates getting 65, 66 million votes for president. Right. And then all of a sudden, that one particular election, an additional 13, 14 million votes just kind of magically appeared out of nowhere. I know it's bizarre. And then after that election, everything went back to a normal count, like for even Kamala Harris and for Barack Obama, you know, the election before, you know, 2020. Really interesting times, Dennis. Really was.
Yeah. And that graph is astounding when you look at it. All of a sudden in the dark of night, like 2:30 or 3 in the morning, there's this jink and the line goes through the Trump win.
We don't even want to relitigate that, but don't gaslight us into saying that there wasn't some real skullduggery being done that night. And I guess when you're talking about people that consider your candidate literal Hitler, it's by any means necessary. But, you know, don't gaslight me. You can't gaslight me anymore on this kind of stuff. All right, let me just
And I think the important thing is in this conversation, it turned to compulsory speech instead of freedom of speech. What the Reed camp wanted me to say was, and it was, you know, almost scripted, you must say, yes, Biden won. And frankly, I refused to say, yes, Biden won, because I didn't think it was appropriate given what we know as historical fact. And then in this election, it's really good that Trump took 4 years off, though, and is back in the seat of authority, because this gives him extra life. We got to see what Democrat rule looks like.
And I also think that we have a better President Trump second time around, that continuing after the first term, had they been consecutive, I don't think he would have been nearly as effective or smart even about getting the cabinet fixed. Okay? That's just honestly where I think we are right now. Dennis, before we take off.
Interesting is, let me just add, is the left coast here with California, Washington, Oregon, you know, they are going to have to come to grips with fiscal and sound money policies, tax and spend idiocy. How do they actually solve the housing problem, the drug addiction problem that you've been talking about for the past hour, how that leads to crime and the dissolving of the civil economy and civil structure of our society? All of these things, they keep pretending they've got answers, but their answers don't jive with reality.
Yeah. I'm thinking ultimately, though, if we're looking for another statewide Republican win at some point, it's been tough. I was always saying right in the beginning in your Secretary of State race, it was a high lift. Okay. And even, like I said, when there was lots of money, it wasn't. Now, you didn't have a ton of money in this particular race. And maybe that's something that has to be worked on for next time. But still, ultimately, maybe Republicans should start investing in the Pacific Green Party and start sending them money and having them get more candidates. Because kind of like, what happened with Brian Boquist. Brian Boquist got very close because you had a Pacific Greenie taking about 6-7% there. Kind of like what Herman was trying to do with the running of Betsy Johnson, Senator Johnson, back in the day with the Christine Drazen election.
And the Pacific Green, the working families, you know, it's great that they're out there stealing votes from the Democrats. But at the same time, we have libertarian, freedom-loving individuals stealing votes from, like, Chavez de Remer.
Yeah.
In her race, and it's like, oh man, this gets really frustrating. But this is the way the majority rule concept plays. What I don't understand is how somebody could vote for Brian Boquist and then turn around and not vote for Dennis Linthicum, or vice versa. You know, how you could vote for Will Lathrop but then not vote for Brian Boquist. It seems to me that these offices get their power from the concept of majority implementation.
Yeah, well, I think I know what happened with the Boquist race, though. I think state treasurer is looked at as less partisan, love fest kind of a kind of a vote. Secretary of State, big power, because it's a big power to control the elections and the audits. All right, you know, that's a big part of it, and nobody wants to make that honest in the Democratic Party. And same with the attorney general, big power in there as to where crime and punishment go. I think that has something to do with it. And so they're maybe more willing to overlook that a bit. But anyway, Dennis, good talking with you. We'll have you back at some point, and take some time off and just get ready for the next session. It's going to be a long doozy. You know that.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. I keep telling people they can still call me Mr. Secretary. It won't be Secretary of State, but it will be Secretary for Senator Linthicum.
Okay. Very good. Yeah. We're just changing the first names on the business cards, right?
Okay. That's right.
All right. Thank you, Senator. Good talk. 6 minutes after eight. This is KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG Grants Pass. L.A. Marzulli will join me after the news break, and we're going to have a good conversation about UAPs. Today is the day that they're having that hearing in Congress, and L.A. has an interesting take on it all.